We believe it's really important to demonstrate that human rights informs good climate policy, because the whole agreement has to be about people. They have to be at the center. And indeed, it's people and people's rights that will be affected one way or the other by this agreement. If we get a good, ambitious agreement, that will help human rights enormously.
In the discussions today, we heard people mentioning human rights as an opportunity in the context of climate change. What does that mean, and do you have any specific examples?
The fact that it's an opportunity means that there may be many, many people, if we have a good, ambitious agreement combined with the Sustainable Development Goals, who will get access to clean energy. Think what that means for their lives. They will have lights in their home, the children will be able to do homework in the evening, it'll free up the time of women. There'll be lights in health centres where people can give birth safely, in schools. So we need to reach everybody. Nobody would be left behind. I'm shocked when I read projections of the International Energy Agency for Africa, a projection, an outlook, which said that in 2040 there could be 530 million Africans with no access to electricity. That's 10 years after the Sustainable Development for All. So business as usual will not do. It will not achieve what we need. And this has to be a transformative agreement. It has to set the standards. I'm very glad there's so much discussion about 1.5. It is safer for many small islands, for many people, and it would, in fact, accelerate the business world to get out of fossil fuel, to get rid of these subsidies for fossil fuel, to put a price on carbon, and to do the business.
What do you say to business who say, well, including human rights has a cost?
Interestingly, I'm very encouraged by the role of business here at this conference, more progressive business. The business leaders that I'm working with, the B team, and I'm working with them as an elder, I'm an honorary B team member, have embraced climate justice. They really see that it's important for social stability. It's important for, you know, having security of doing business in the world. Because if we don't deal with climate change, we will have, it's a driver of migration. It undermines the basis for doing business in the world, which is having consumers who will consume.
Vulnerable groups such as women and indigenous people have been mobilizing all week to try and have their rights figure within the text. Where does it stand now, and what's the goal?
First of all, I know you're describing vulnerable groups, but don't forget these are also actors for change. I mean, women on the ground and also indigenous communities, as we heard here, are preserving the forests, are responsible for very good action in their country, and that has to be recognised. I hope that we will see the strongest text for people possible, including those most vulnerable.